Welcome to We Watch Too Much TV, the weekly podcast where two real-life best friends dish on all the TV content they've been binging in their remote work-based lives. Babbling about everything from scripted television to reality TV and film, these two besties will immerse you in their quirky universe of streaming. Here are your hosts, Jaroslyn and Tanea.
Welcome back.
Today it's episode 4.
Episode 4. We in the door. Remember making the band? 4 with the band with day 26. That's what they had to say.
Oh my God. Making the band four.
Yes. We're going to start a new segment about old shows because I want to just talk about making a band. But yes.
We were doing that in our first episode and it just kind of disappeared. But we're always watching different old shows. So I actually just started watching Family Karma.
Oh, yeah. I want to get into that.
I kept seeing because I'm in the reality TV forums and stuff. So I kept seeing people talk about it on Twitter and Reddit. And I'm like, I just kind of want to check it out. So I started watching season 1, episode 1 today. And I'm already up to episode 5. It just kind of flows naturally. I'm like, oh, this is a good show. So we will add that to our show in the near future.
Period. And then you guys can chime in and let us know what shows we should watch or episodes we should watch. And we can do
real-time
reactions because we want to interact with all 3 of our fans that hopefully becomes
13. 13. Sarah, Jessica, Adam, Brian. Hi, guys. Like we can like say our fan base on like a first name basis, like all 5 of them.
Yes. We love you. Fans. All 5.
Anyways. Okay. So that was basically us catching up on how we're doing. As you can tell, we're doing amazing, blessed.
God is good all the time.
Yes, he is. You know, I always just like be making up gospel songs all the time. Like not even just songs about my life and like I'll twerk and stuff. I just do that to get through my days. And I'm really not lying like at all. Like I do it all throughout the day. Anything can happen. And I'll be like, no, Lord, don't let my ice cube fall under the refrigerator.
Because it's wrong. And I'm the Diddy of it all. I'm going to always be the background singer. Take that. No ice.
That's not even he doesn't even background sing. He just adds his little swag. It's just a little Diddy swag. You already know.
Yep, I got the
all thing. Right. Weekly grab time. Grab it.
Let's grab it. Do you want to start? Should I start?
No, you start, girl. What shows have been standing out to you?
My first one is my favorite show that actually comes back on tonight at 10 o'clock. So I will be on Do Not Disturb, The Good Doctor. We love a medical drama. Me and Roslyn have very different interests.
You talk about this show all the time. So I'm very excited that it's back started.
I'm so happy. It's season 6. Spoiler alert if you don't watch it. But Sean and Leah are pregnant again. She lost her first baby mid-pregnancy. They told her like the episode before that she shouldn't actually have kids because it can make her die. And she went to go get an x-ray for like a broken hand. And the doctor's like, we can't do this because you're pregnant. So it's been a cliffhanger. Also another new doctor who's been struggling with sobriety, overdose, and he's trying to get his job back. It's just a really good show about life. So I am so excited it comes back. Shout out to my girl, Jordan. She's a Black queen doctor on the show. She's like the epitome of Black girl magic. And Dr. Lim, there was a gunman in the beginning of the season. He did a shootout. He paralyzed Dr. Lim, but then she just found out that she could have surgery to make her walk. But she met her new boo, and he's in a wheelchair. So she wasn't going to get the surgery. But he was like, girl, get the surgery. Just because I can't walk and you could walk, girl, you better walk. So
oh my goodness,
they're going to show how her new navigation is from finding out you could maybe never walk again to her walking again. And so if you love a medical drama, if you even Grey's Anatomy.
This Is Us type shows, I would be crying all the time. That's why I don't watch these shows. I'm like, I'm going to cry every episode and I don't got time to be watching TV to cry.
I do, but it's a good cry. It's a it's a humbling cry because it makes you think about life. Like
it is.
It could always be worse. And I've also just never seen a doctor who happens to be autistic. And so you learn that, like, even though he's not good at social cues, he's not good at being touched, and he doesn't really know how to read the room and can't be emotional, he'll save your life because his mind remembers like life-changing things. So the good doctor, watch it. It's on you.
Okay, thank you for that transition. The good doctor, watch it. It's on you. I'm out.
Bomb drop.
Okay, mic drop. Thank you. The good doctor.
We need a flex bomb.
Not a mic drop to the good doctor. Okay. that's what's to get me. Okay. So on to my real estate shows. My reality TV shows, but this one is shout out to season 2 of Married to Real Estate on HGTV. It's with Egypt Sherrod and Mike Jackson, the Jacksons. They're a married couple. She hosted the season 1 of Love and Marriage Huntsville reunion. She hosted it, but she is an established real estate broker and interior designer. And her husband is a contractor. Like, he does all the hands-on construction. And they're in the second season of their show that follows them, help families or, you know, couples or whoever's looking find a home and bring it to their standards. So you're even seeing them add value to homes. It's really good if you're like into ownership, like home ownership. And I haven't even bought my first home yet, but I'm into ownership, but I'm also into interior design. I have acquired an affinity for interior design as I have gotten more mature and seasoned in life.
I've noticed that you're more into like house porn. You're posting like a lot of house stuff and like balconies. I'm like, oh, she's getting into her and her wife. You could tell she's newly married because I feel this is like, now I'm a wife.
Yes, it was starting ahead of marriage, but you know, now that I'm a wife, now it's like, yeah, y'all, I'm into this house shit. Everyone can know. It makes more sense. So you'll see me posted or liking it on Twitter and stuff. But this show is just amazing. And they're a Black couple. I would love to see more, not even just Black, but just diversity on HGTV when it comes to real estate and the house flipping and the design, because there's all kinds of people out here that are very talented. So I just like that. And then we also get to see them with their family life. They are parents of three girls. And then it's like kind of a family business because the other contractors that they hire to bring in for stuff is Egypt's brother. It's like really cute. So shout out to them. Season 2 on HGTV. Be sure to check out Married to Real Estate. I'm out.
Taking it over. Mic drop.
It's Tanea over to
you. No, I do like them. I saw them on Black Love. They're a really good couple. But I remember Egypt when she was on 107.5, the VBLS. That's the Egypt I remember.
That's right. She was.
She should be a radio host.
Yeah.
That's who I remember.
Yes. So, look, come on. Check that resume, boo-boo. Yeah. And she's so sweet. Like, she's really, because I had interviewed them. I interviewed them for season 1. Very, very nice couple. And then even recently, I kind of just shouted out the show and shared how she's helped me improve my interior design skills. And I just love watching them and their family on HGTV. And she retweeted me and told me, thank you. And I was like, oh, thank you, heart. I love when it, like, celebrities, reality stars, when you respond to people on social media, it like, it's such a heart.
It brightens your day.
It really does. That's why, yo, me and Chanel Ayan are best friends. Because she be responding to my tweets about her bad wigs. So I'm like, oh, girl, we're cousins. We're best friends. Like, I love Ayan. No one is going to change that. Like, I'm so here for her. But yes. Okay, on to your next show, your next weekly grab.
Because we already know that Tanea loves a good documentary. This one is Lies, Lies, and More Lies, the Sherry Panini story. Let me tell y'all what this white woman did. And her race wouldn't matter if she didn't think she could get away with this.
Oh.
So picture it. It's 2017. She's married, has kids, quote unquote, picket fence family. One day, shorty don't call her husband and she don't come home. She calls her husband and says she's been kidnapped. She's held for ransom. She needs to give them $30,000. So for a month or two, her husband has the whole entire county in California looking for her. there's like a police chase. Everybody's trying to find her. She calls them when she can. She's like, don't get the cops involved. They're going to kill me. It's this big, crazy thing for like,
Where's this a month and a half. Taking place?
California. California. Like Monterey.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, it got to be a small town.
Like Monterey, Marina Del Rey, Montecito, one of those places.
Right, right, right.
Not the Bay or LA. So it's like a month and a half of this crazy, insane, like, chase to find her. The husband is like, the family, they're doing like rewards. Let's find her. I think maybe about 4 or 5 weeks into it, they finally find her. She's scared. She's nervous. So now the cops are like, we have to help this one, like help find these people. She has marks all over her. She looks horrible. So they asked her who did it. Two Latina women apparently gagged her, kidnapped her, and everything. As the cops start asking her questions, they notice her stories are not staying the same. And then they notice that when they ask her for certain information, she forgets what she tells them. It then starts becoming clear that maybe she's not telling the truth.
They find
a tape. They find a tape because one time she told called the husband like, oh, they're telling me to meet me at the supermarket. They find a tape of the time and date she told them to get to the supermarket. They see a guy around that time. They realize he's connected to her. They call the guy in. This girl was with her ex-boyfriend for a month the whole time. Self-inflicting wounds on herself, beating herself up because she wanted a break from her life, wasted thousands of millions of dollars. And then when the cops caught her in the interrogation room, they asked her, do you want us to tell this in front of your husband or no? She's like, can I talk to him first? So then she tells her husband, I just don't want the people who saved me to get in trouble because one of the women saved my life and I don't want it. So she just is lying to the last end until the court sues her. They sue her for misusing funds and for lying to the police and for sending them on a goose chase. The husband's like, F out of here. Once she pleads guilty and admits that she lies about everything, of course, he leaves her and he takes the kids with her.
Good.
Y'all white women got to stop lying and y'all got to stop blaming people of color. Had to say it was somebody Latino, African-American that did this to you. And this woman just wanted to break. Instead of divorcing her husband, she wants to cheat. And then she's self-inflicting, beating herself up.
So and she was trying to blame it on who? What kind of people?
He said it was two Latin women who came and kidnapped her while she was on her way to the grocery store.
She's out there trying to rekindle flames with her high school boyfriend, Tyler.
Listen, she knew it. And then the guy was like, I don't want to get in trouble for this. This was her idea. I didn't do anything. He snitched. Because she was going to try to say it was the ex. Because I think the ex is Latino too, her ex-boyfriend. But he was like, no, party's done. You ain't putting me in jail. She was at my house for a month and a half. Everything that she described of what the kidnapper's house looked like, the ex-boyfriend's house looked like.
Mm-mm-mm.
So can y'all please stop wasting and it's like little girls, little people that are really going through things that are kidnapped that they're not paying attention to. But they spend time and money on trying to rescue this little white woman.
That's lying.
Who was just snucking and bucking with her ex-boyfriend the entire time.
I mean, it's a lot of like, there's a lot of like children missing, but it really is a lot with Black women going missing that goes overlooked and ignored too often. It will rarely make headline news, but when it is a case with a missing white woman, and there's a term for it in media called missing white woman syndrome, you will see it, whether you see it on your local news. It can somehow turn into a Gabby Petito where it's nationwide headlining news about a missing white girl. Mm-hmm. But there are hundreds of thousands of Black women missing in this country right now, families searching for answers that will not even see a newspaper. So that's what Tanaya is saying when she say, white women, stop your lying and taking up resources that can go to the children, the thousands of children that are missing, the thousands of Black women that are missing, just the people that are out here actually missing. And it's more than just you know, we would like to see authorities care about everybody that's missing and not just when it's someone that might look like your daughter, police officer. So you tend to care more. So that's
exactly what it is. So mm-hmm. it just made me really upset, really mad.
Yes.
And I want y'all to watch it and talk crap about her. Mic drop.
Sorry, you can. Yes. Watch it. Talk crap about her. Hit up Tanea because she will be responding.
Yes.
On to my reality show. So I was sleeping on season 2 of Love and Marriage DC because I thought it wasn't going to have no juice, no substance without the Samuels. You know, Monique and Chris Samuels, they announced their exit ahead of season 2. They were the ones that kind of brought everyone in season 1 because Monique was coming over from Housewives of Potomac. It was her return to reality television. But after one season, they decided they're out. But season 1 really showed the issues with the marriage. And even just that Monique is an issue. And she was the issue on Potomac. And we just couldn't see it because Giselle and Robin were, and even Candace, were much more issues. So it's like, I felt like seeing Monique on DC, I was really able to see the picture more clear and see her flaws, and they were huge. So when she announced that she was leaving right ahead of reports coming out that her and Chris were divorcing, after then they shut down, they denied the divorce forms, but then all of a sudden you're not coming back to the show. Well, why not? You're not getting divorced. What you got to hide?
And you ain't got no check like that. I mean, I'm not making money, claimed, but you ain't that.
She claimed something about negotiations, but I don't think so. Like, so I watched the season premiere because I was sleeping on it, but I didn't think the remaining couples had enough to carry the show because I just didn't get enough from them in season 1. But so far, the season premiere of episode of season 2, they brought on Clifton and Joy from Ready to Love. If you know Clifton and Joy, I think they were on like season 3 of Ready to Love. So and they were like a fan favorite couple. So now we're actually seeing them as an engaged couple on Love and Marriage DC. But the couples are actually really good. I really like the Tylers. They are putting all their family business out there. So they've been married like 20 years. The husband just retired as a cop. He was a cop for like 25 years. The oldest son is spoiled as hell. And he just, he's been getting into legal trouble. But now you're seeing the family that was in season 1. Now you're seeing him kind of get out of the legal trouble, but now he's like expecting things from his parents, like expecting them to pay his parking tickets and then getting mad. And if they don't, and then he'll just leave and go to his girlfriend's house and send them text messages like, she the only one who support me. Sir, you're 26 years old. Why is anyone supporting you? And just the sense of entitlement. And he's on the show seeing this. I'm just like, I can't believe he's a grown ass baby. And then their younger son, Jason, he is blind. He can't see. But he's 21 and he wants to grow up. He wants to get out of his parents' house. He wants to experience life. So you're seeing them. He got accepted into this program. I can't remember the exact name of it, but he got accepted into this program and he's going to be living on his own for the first time. Yes. And he's very excited. And so they're throwing him a going away party. And so that's where you see, like, they were all expecting the Samuels to show up. They're talking about them. They're talking about the divorce news hitting the press and how they didn't even tell them about it. They're thinking that the Samuels are going to film. So to now see that they really just went cold turkey and then announced, oh, we're quitting. It's like, I don't think that's contract negotiations. You would have already had the contract negotiations going on before you agreed to show up to the party. So I don't know, who knows, but it could be, you know, the issues with the marriage. But overall, the remaining three couples, because now you have Joy and Clifton and you're seeing them adjust to life as an engaged couple and Joy, you know, preparing to be kind of take on the stepmother role because Clifton has two sons that are, you know, older. One is 18 and I think the other is like 12 or something. And then you have, again, the Tylers, they've been married 20 years and they got one child that's rebellious, one that's kind of going out on his own, but he's, you know, just a, how do you say? Cause I know it's like special needs.
Yes.
Special needs. And then you have DJ Quicksilver and his wife, Ashley, and she's releasing her first book and she has a podcast. But now what I'm seeing is I'm like, oh, Ashley is like the diva. because you're seeing even in the trailer and even in this first episode. So Joy gets booked to go speak at Steve Harvey's some event that's for single mothers.
And so you got to be a single mother.
You got to be a single mother. And they got Joy to speak in a panel about being ready to love. But the thing is, Joy is not a mother. Mm. And, you know, she doesn't have any children. But at the same time, regardless, the panel at this event that is for single mothers is on ready to love, how being ready to love. And Joy was ready to love. And she found a love. But whatever. She got booked for the event. Regardless, this is her sharing with the group. You know, she's new to the group. You're vibing with her. Ashley just jumps all over it. Like, why would they book you for that? Like, you're not a mother. You've never been a, like, just jumps down her throat, like, just kind of tears her apart. So then you see Clifton kind of come in like, well, she's going to do a good job. And that's what matters. You know, like, she got booked. So that's where I'm kind of seeing like, ooh, Ashley could start to be a problem. And so I think that the show overall still has more than enough substance to stand on its own. And I'm really just a fan of the Love and Marriage franchise. I love Huntsville. I love now DC. It's really about family and the Black family and Black entrepreneurship and Black ownership. It's not just about the drama that is going to come because we Black.
Hello.
But, yeah. Like, so I'm here for it. So shout out to, if you haven't seen, started season 2 of Love and Marriage DC, start it. It's actually pretty good.
I think I'm going to start it, especially because it's only season 1 in. And I did start the last season, but I honestly didn't like how much, like, Monique's like, I'm back. It's me. Yeah. So I'm kind of happy she's off of it because I just didn't like how I feel like she feels she's like she carries a show. And I think that's her problem. Yes. Like, you didn't carry Potomac. You didn't carry this show. Yes. So now I think I'm going to watch it because the way she was like, I'm back on your screen, sis.
Right. It was so hard to see that Monique was a narcissist on Potomac because it's just so many alpha women. But right. When you look back at Potomac, Monique was not for these moms, and you didn't come to my event, even though I physically assaulted you. And it's like, girl, like, how are you expecting people to still be supporting you? You're very arrogant. Yeah. So the signs were there. The signs were there. But yeah, so check it out. What you got? What else you got for your grab?
All right, my last grab is something I think we're going to talk about every week, and this is Love After Lockup. Clink, clink, that's going to be our new sound, because I feel like we got to talk about this show every week.
Every week?
It's such every a good week.
And Life After Lockup is about to start, so you already know.
Listen, y'all, it's going to need its own segment now, best friend, because
So
first of all, Monique and Derek are still very much together according to their TikTok. Right,
according to social media, yes.
According to social media, because she's like, follow my man. And I just feel bad for Derek.
I don't feel bad for him.
I just think Monique is fucking crazy. Like,
she is.
She is crazy. Like, as someone who's been through something with like a partner of your siblings and not getting along, it only goes as bad as you want it to go. Yeah. And so watching him think about like his safety, watching him, I mean, I don't think he's innocent. I don't think he's up to no good, right. But I think he's really trying to give her an honest chance, like working out with her, like picking her over his family. But you picking up this phone and arguing with his sisters, like, you supposed to create the peace. Anytime he say the word she, when they went to the bank and he's putting the check in and he's like, oh, I helped a girl with crypto. She, who she? Yes. Girl, he can't even say female. He can't even say the word she. She's so, you cannot make somebody love you.
Or if he wants to go to
you.
The casino.
Yes, like, control is not going to work, Monique. You cannot control, trust me, girl. It's not
right.
You cannot control somebody to love you. You cannot make somebody choose you. Because if Derek gonna cheat, he gonna cheat, sis. But the way she like just puts herself into the situation with like just how she handles it, she's just so insecure and not sure of herself. She's gonna be on his back 24/7, 365. So I'm praying that she gets it together. But I also want to shout out is it Michael and Justine? He's actually a really good rapper. He was like, facilities. Like, he was doing mad work. I was like, oh.
I actually do. They're one of my favorite, like one of the, well, not my favorite, but just, you know, there's a few couples you actually are rooting for.
Yeah. I feel like their problems. Mm-hmm. I feel like at least the wife did not curse out the mom. Like, I think they disagree, but you could tell he loves them both and he wants it to work and he loves her. Yes. I feel like Monique needs to like, just relax, girl. Like, Jesus.
Well, here's my spiel on Monique and Derek. Okay, I don't feel completely sorry for Derek. What I do appreciate Derek and him just, you know, not being afraid to choose to love a big woman, you know, like, right. you know, you, it's like, it's not every day. And then him, you know, he's going out in public with her and he's not afraid to say like, I'm with
it's my girl.
And I think that is such a beautiful thing. And I would love to see more men do that, you know, because right. everybody deserves love. However, with him opening up more in this latest episode about knowing who it was chasing him in the car, first of all, that car chase was hilarious. Hilarious.
I was like, what in the what?
It was just like, it seemed staged, but at the same time, it was just like a lot. And then knowing that Monique is in the driver's seat and then her, it's like the ratio of her body to the steering wheel. It's just, it's like, she's like the steering wheel is like right on her leg. So it's like her hands is down. It's just so crazy.
You better get that extended, sis.
Girl, it was such a hot mess. And then the whole time he's acting like he don't know who it is in that car, but he knew who it was. So it's like, now you're starting to see that he is hiding stuff. He's clearly probably talking to other women. He's trying to get away from Monique to probably get some alone time to meet up with the other woman. Monique is not having it. Monique is like on his ass. Like, oh, I'm going to extend my trip. I'm going to get a different car, different hotel. It's like very weird. She's doing a lot to be a veterinarian receptionist.
I don't know. I didn't know they make that much money.
Right. Okay. Right. But apparently, I don't know. Maybe she works at a really good office. But I just, and then even now, still seeing that the relationship is continuing, where, first of all, you know, it's long distance. She's in Chicago, he's in Cleveland. I think that Derek is just probably just a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm going to ride it out with her. And, you know, she does for me. And, you know, they be loving up on each other and stuff. So it's like, he's going to make it work for him as long as she's willing to allow it. That's what I'm getting from it. So it doesn't make me so much feel sorry for him because I know that he's clearly with other women. But, you know, the fact that he's making Monique his main and allowing her to, you know, it's on social media. They doing Instagram lives together. I'm like, okay, I'm definitely rooting for them.
Yeah, I don't think she makes it easier with her whole, just the way she acts.
Her attitude.
Yeah, her attitude is a 0 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And I think she could get more beads with honey. I think he would enjoy it more because I would want to cheat on you too if I'm thinking about my grandmother dying and you want to call my sister and be cursing her out. Focus, girl. Focus. Yeah.
So, well, I'm happy you brought up Love After Lockup. I was going to take a break from that show. Okay, so
nah, as long as it's on, y'all gonna hell eat at least five minutes every week.
There's two shows I just want to give a special shout out to because I'm not really gonna go into them. The new shows I started watching, I already mentioned. Well, Family Karma is a new old show, but it's current. Okay, I started watching The Cupcake Guys on Roku. I just happened to just come across it. It's these two guys that used to be in the NFL. They're based in Austin, Texas. And they were like, they retired and are, you know, they're not playing for the NFL anymore. And it's like, well, what do we do? And they both love cupcakes. One of them bakes. They actually bake the cupcakes. The other one decorates the cupcakes. And they started a cupcake business. And so you're seeing, but they had started it right before the pandemic. And then the pandemic, you know, impacted them. So you're seeing them rebuild the Cupcake Guys company. They hired a new cake decorator. It's just a cute little show. Of these two former NFL players with their wives, and then one of them, the one that wasn't in the NFL, he's just the operations dude. He, you know, he's clearly not a former NFL player. He's so tiny, you know, compared to these guys. But he's not married, and he rotates girlfriends all the time. So you're seeing their wives get tired of this because they're becoming friends with these girlfriends. Then now he moves on to another girlfriend. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's so, so funny. But then they're also Family Guys. They're raising their children. So it's a cute show. So check that out if you like cupcakes and football, because they turn everything into football. It's hilarious. Like, they describe every, because they've been playing football their whole life. So they'll talk about a recipe or something with the cupcakes, but they're like, but it's like we're down on four. I'm like, how did they turn this into a play?
And I know you like, I don't know what they're talking about, but I get
right.
it.
But the other show is on Hulu, The Parent Test. I don't know if you saw this.
Oh, I saw the things. I saw like the commercials for it, but I haven't watched it yet. It's like different type of parenting.
Yes, it's very interesting. And I'm not a parent, but it's interesting. Parents are judging parents on their parenting, and then they get to vote on whose parenting style is the best, despite the hiccups, right? Because even the couples that got voted in this recent tier, because I think I'm up to like episode 2 or 3. One of them, it was like they've done so good in the other challenges, but the one challenge where it's letting strangers in the house. Their kids really just let some guy come up in the house, and they're two young little girls. And the guy was like, "Hey, I'm a gas inspector. Can I check the thing?" And they're like, "Yeah, okay." And the parents aren't home. And they just let the stranger in the house. And the parents admitted that because they live in this rural area in like Wyoming, they never talk to their kids about strangers. They tell their kids to be nice to everyone because that's where they're at. And so it's like, you know, they have the family therapist that, you know, he gives advice, and then the other parents give their opinions and stuff. It's like open dialogue, very respectful. You know, that everybody's respecting each other, even with things you don't agree with their parents' style. So I think it's a really good show. If you're not a parent, it still just even gives you, you know, if you plan to be a parent or just in general, or be more understanding of your people in your life that are parents. I love it. I think it's such a great show. I want to see more of it. Cause it gets it. Not even, I haven't seen nothing heated where people are attacking each other, but things are triggering. Like, these are parents, like they care about their children. So it could get emotional. It could get, the conversations could get a little heated at times, but I still like that everybody respects each other. So check
out. I was just going to say, I thought it was going to be like a wife swap. That's why I didn't want to watch it. So thank you.
I thought it was going to be, I was like, oh yeah, go raise each other's children. I love shit like that. But it really wasn't. But it ended up being, you know, yes, you would love it. The Good Doctor today, you would love.
The Good Doctor on ABC, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, but my last show, and I know you haven't watched it, and you need to watch the show because you will love it. Did you check out Traitors? On Peacock.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I watched it. Yes.
Oh, we can talk about that. Yes. So that's what I wanted to talk about. That was the last one. That show.
Justice for my future boo, Andy. I love you, Andy. I know you, Abby. I know you got a baby on the way, Andy, but if it don't work out, call me. Yes. Yeah. I don't know. They said they have a family. You know what? Honestly, after like the first 4 episodes, I jumped to the ending because Brandy Granville does make great TV. So after she went home, I just kind of skipped to the last episode. But I did watch it.
I watched the whole damn thing. I would fast forward certain parts through the episodes, but I literally watched the whole 10-episode season from Friday to last night. I finished it. Because it was actually really good. Like, even Mark didn't watch none of it. He started, like, he was coming home. He's been working all weekend or whatever. So he was, like, coming home yesterday. Not yet. Like, even on Saturday and stuff. And he was, like, seeing me watch the final episodes, like, episode 7. And he just kind of got a little like, he would watch it with me because it's, like, he's knowing the people are lying. Some people are traitors. But he ended up watching the season finale, episode 10 with me. He was so into it. He was like,
so sad.
Yo, because the way Andy and Quentin, what it really showed you is that, and for someone like us, especially us today, it's like we are emotional thinkers. We move with our heart. Mm-hmm. And you can really see that, especially in decisions with business strategy, you got to take your emotions out of it because you're going to get played. Take your emotions out of it. Andy and Quentin got played.
Seriously? And I hate Siri. I don't care. I don't care. I'm mad. She needed for her family, but I'm still mad. I don't care.
I don't hate Siri. You can't. She played that game so well.
She got all that money.
I could not believe she was lying like that throughout the whole season. It was so crazy. But anyway,
do you know how much she won?
$250,000.
I guess. Andy, justice for you. And I love Quentin because he's actually one of my favorite, like, TikTok political commentators. So I was excited for him to be on the show. I really hated the Christian guy, the traitor. He was annoying. I can't believe Cody got out before him. I thought Christian would have been the first traitor.
He started messing up, but I find it hilarious that Kate made it all the way to the end. Hilarious.
Yo, Kate was
like, no, we're keeping Kate because
I knew Reza was gonna go first. I knew he was gonna go first. Funny. I knew Reza was going to go first because he's
like, I think they just got rid of me. They murdered me because they see me as a threat. Love
he's
it.
But so no, extra.
He's so extra. He was like, they were like getting rid of you on day one because you're annoying. I definitely prefer Traitors over Celebrity Big Brother. I like the way the voting goes. I like the challenges even. I would love to see these celebrities get buried alive or have to walk through a little river. The casting and the mix with regular people. Just
that's not- what I was going to say. I like Celebrity Big Brother, but I like this show because I like the mix. I like that it's some famous people and it's some normal. I think that this is, that's why I like this show because I like the mix. You don't see that a lot.
I would like to see Todrick on Traitors. He would have never made it past episode one.
Ugh.
He would have never paid it. But all right, that's our weekly grab. Oh, wait. Sanaya, we added a new part of our weekly grab. So we're going to talk about hot topics, right?
Hot topics / deep dive / we don't like you.
That's okay. So first on the list of the hot topics, we need to get a hot topic sound. Todrick Hall has been trending over the weekend. For one, it's the start. They took away our 90-minute Drag Race episodes to make space for this new show called what?
The Real Friends of We Know, because we don't need it no more. Okay.
Not We Know.
Because we don't need it no more. Okay. And you can tell, is it just me, Bestie, or when you watched it, you can tell like they're cutting a lot of juice out. They're cutting like they're making the runway shorter. They're not giving me as much emo stories. I'm not a fan.
I'm like, it's so sped up. I hate it so much. I love it, but I hate it that we're getting deprived from a good chunk of the show and the dynamic of the queens. It's just like, and then that is for Todrick. Now, here's the thing. I think, especially when it comes to the casting, because you already know a lot of these networks, and we're talking about M to the T to the V. We know who most of these people are in these rooms making these decisions of what gets greenlit, who's going to be on the cast. So I know that Todrick looks great on paper as it relates to his popularity, his resume, but there's still a divide when it comes to just Todrick's relatability in the community that he's a part of. And I just feel like if they took that into account, I don't see why he would have been on the cast. They would have known people hate this man. And if you know anything about how reality TV fanship works, if they do not like you, people are just going to do whatever they can to take you down.
Listen here, because you know I refuse to watch. So I've done a little bit.
I haven't even gotten a chance. I did want to check it out because I knew we were going to talk about it.
I watched a girl's YouTube who watched it. I refuse to give them a view. So a couple of things. First of all, they only got 20,000 views. Almost everybody who watched Drag Race immediately cut it off at 9 o'clock. So their viewership was like in the toilets. It's only 6 episodes, but it might not make it past 3. That's the first thing I know. Second thing, I agree with you 100%. I think that he went to the people and was like, he needs a redemption story because his life has been through the mud. And I think they thought like, oh, let's give him a platform because it'll, you know, redeem himself. But that was the wrong idea, Anna May. My thing that I dislike about him so much, and I will take this with me, is he wants to weaponize his community at the same time as he wants to like be a part of it. He loves to mention the fact that he's Black and he's gay.
Yes.
Everything is being Black and gay. You have to support him if you're Black and you're gay. Yes. If you don't support him, you're racist and homophobic. Mm-hmm. Todrick, people just don't like you, bro.
Right.
Don't make me feel like because I'm a queer person, I gotta watch your show or buy your albums or look at your videos where there's never, you never have a person of color as a romantic interest. When I tell you there's so many creators who have been talking about his problematic ways since he was on American Idol and got 10th place, which I bet you didn't know that, but that mother lost, okay? This is my thing. So the show itself, you can tell it's not real, Dross. You can tell they just found 6 gay guys. Apparently, James, the guy who's married to Jonathan from Mean Girls, and he was on Amazing Race because we love Amazing Race. Mm-hmm. They asked his husband, but his husband didn't want to do it. So James said, I'll do it. None of these guys are friends. Dorian has already been trashing it. He's not doing promos. Dorian put on his Twitter, I don't know these people. It's the fake friends of WeHo.
Oh my God.
He's already bashing the show. Yes.
This show is doomed. It's over.
They're not going to do it again. It's over before it started. But I think they thought Todrick was going to be a plus. But then every time he does an interview, he's like, I just really thought that my community
would stand
behind me. But actually, they're the ones turning me down.
But why did he have to take a jab at Drag Race in promoting his show? And like Drag Race helped. Like I knew first started knowing who Todrick was through Drag Race.
Say it again.
I didn't know him on American Idol.
I didn't know him either until I didn't like him.
Didn't know him with Taylor Swift. Didn't care. I knew him because he was coming on Drag Race as a choreographer. And then he would be a guest judge at times. And then seeing how he treated Carson Kressley on Celebrity Big Brother pissed me off. And then now this was his comment about his new show. We as the queer community, we're always saying we want more diversity, more inclusion, more representation. I think this is the answer to it, his show. We need to start telling other stories that are not competition based so people can just see us in our natural habitat. Okay, yes, I totally agree. The community is way more than Drag Race, but why would you take a dig at Drag Race? Now that to me, that's the second kind of dig tied to Drag Race. I don't see Ru ever inviting him back.
Ever.
She better not. She better not.
She's okay. Definitely not. She got Jamal Sims fine gay behind. Okay.
I mean, she always had Jamal Sims. Like, he's been from day one. I feel like Todrick kind of, she was giving him a chance.
Right. So, right. But now she has TS, and that sis is amazing. And we're TS fine. Is exactly. amazing. We're and fine. She's officially like a part-time judge like Carson and what I'm thinking him, Ross. So TS is just like those two, but I agree with you 100%. He always has to put somebody down to lift him up. It's not that because you're Black and you're queer and people want to give. Nobody wants to support you, Todrick. That's it. If he was not on that show, I promise you, I will watch it.
Then when he started, when the backlash first started, then he did like a little video where he thought he ate. It was like the burn book from Mean Girls.
Oh, yeah. His little TikTok.
Yeah, he's like putting all the things that people talk about him. Like, oh, you don't pay your dancers. You're getting evicted. I don't like you on Celebrity Big Brother. He like writes it down or whatever. And then he's like, you know, does the whole skit from Mean Girls. And it's like, you really thought you ate, but you didn't. Then after that didn't work, the next thing you see him post like a 4-page written letter and marker on construction paper statement to his social media, really like trying to apologize, but still, again, like you just said, weaponizing. I'm sorry that in the queer community, I'm sorry that 1 in 5 straight men get paid $5,000 less than a gay man. That means that we have opportunity. And like, what are you talking about? Why are you so tone deaf that you don't understand that when you speak, you just annoy? This is what you're doing.
And he doesn't keep the same energy. One second, he's, I don't care about y'all. F these haters, burn book. Then he's like, I'm sorry for everything. You got to keep the same energy. You're going to be unapologetic and you and have hate and drama. Or you're going to be apologetic and try to change. He's like, and then you know what he said? I was really effed up in that letter, that 4-page letter. I paid anyone who I agreed to pay. What?
What does that mean?
What does that mean? So you telling people, you had people work for you that you didn't agree to pay, exactly. And that's okay?
So sit your ass down. Your show's about to get canceled. On to the next career climb for you, because that's clearly who you are. I would love to see him on he's going to have to go on like an Iyanla type-esque, like where he could get that redemption. We want to see you be extremely humbled. And then from there, people will start to maybe consider liking you again.
I don't think he has it in him. I don't think he has it in him to do like a, I apologize. I'm sorry. Because even in that letter, when I read it, him saying sorry, he's still got to take jabs. I'm the only Black independent. Mm-hmm. Nobody's asking you about your race, what you do, or your sexual orientation. Stop making that the point in everything you do. People just don't like you. And I hate when, this would be controversial, I do not care. I'm not going to support a Black business because it's Black. I'm not going to support a gay business because it's gay. Because sometimes your customer service ain't right. Your business ain't too tight. You don't have your stuff together. I love supporting Black businesses and queer businesses that are good. But you're not going to make me feel bad because I don't want to support you. No, I support good business. I love it if it's Black or if it's minority owned. But that does not mean you're not going to make me feel like, oh, you're queer and you're Black and you hate Todrick. Who are you?
No. Well, so that wasn't even our piss poor performance, y'all. That was just.
He could be everything.
It was literally a Hot Topic. But yes, clearly we didn't even watch his show. We just wanted to drag Todrick. That was coming because Taneya still had it pent up inside of her since last season of Celebrity Big Brother. So Taneya, you know, we didn't have the show then. So she's been waiting to get all of that out.
Forever.
Okay. So we got this last Hot Topic we got to talk about. Keely from 3LW.
Girl.
Okay, but what show was she on? Let's at least tie it to our theme. What was the show?
She was on The Blueprint.
Yes,
it was The Blueprint, which was a really good show that I watched. It was when Carlos King, of course.
Yeah, shout out to Carlos King. I would love to see that, another season of that. Even if they
He is doing another season. I think he might do guy groups this time. Ooh, or he might mix them up.
That would be so good.
He did confirm he was thinking of like a day 26, like a, you know, like a boy band version of Blueprint.
That would be so good. Cause especially after with all the art.
Oh my God.
It was so hilarious. I'm like, everybody was saying they're like, they need their own show. So I would love to see it. Bring them all in here. Ray J, Bobby B.
Yeah. RSVP.
All of them.
RSVP, all of them, but he is doing a season two. But basically, if you haven't watched it, you can find it on BT or BT Plus. He did like a 6 to 8 episode where he took some of the women from R&B groups and got them like a singing coach, a choreographer, and they did like a super group. So he got the twins from Cherish, he got Keely from 3LW, he got Aubrey from Danity Kane, he got Nivea, a solo artist, he got the sisters from 702, Irish.
Yes.
Ooh, I forgot the other one name. Sorry. Irish and her sister. I'm so sorry, y'all.
Yeah.
And he tried to create, Pam from Total. Pam from Total. Pam. Mm-hmm. He got them together to create of course, I can't forget Shamari from Black.
Yes.
So he got them all together, and not all of them made it to the end, but the ones that did perform. And Keely tried to say she was the executive producer, that she wasn't going to perform, but towards the end, she did end up performing.
You're seeing, too, with that show, like, Keely was always the issue in 3LW. She was spoiled. Her mom was the manager. It's like, in her mind, she thought she was the Beyonce of the group, but talent-wise, she definitely wasn't. And then now, seeing years later, in hindsight, how the other two are more successful than her, and she's now on the show, still just coming with this negative, mean girl energy. It's a lot. But overall, she still is talented. Like, I did think she was one of the better dancers. And, you know, it works. But I think she works for reality television. But that's not what we're talking about. We are talking about Keely admitting that she allowed 3 members of B2K to run a train on her back in the early 2000s. Child, she said back when she was thotting it up.
B2K is hot indeed.
Right. B2K, and then the fact that Omarion is the only one that wasn't a part of the threesome, I'm like, oh, he always knew he was going solo. He always knew. Like, he's like, nah, I'm good. I'm good off of that. I'm good off of that one. But basically, she had sex with your man, J Bug, Razzby, and Lil Fizz, was letting them promises all up. all over her. It was just like, one, first of all, what I did appreciate with Keely from the show that we were just talking about, The Blueprint, like, she's okay with being the villain. I just like that she's okay with being real and honest, and I think that's why she can be amazing for reality TV. People need to invest in that. Put this girl on a show. Let that be her lane. You know, we got Adrian Ballon doing everything under the sun with her hosting and just TV personality career. And then Natori Naughton as an actress, really doing her thing. So Keely has a lane as a reality star. I totally see that for her.
I agree.
Okay.
I think she shouldn't sing. I think she should just stay on reality TV. She's honest. She's good for it. But also, girl, I would have said at least said that. But you know, Olivia Truth, she married. She didn't got somebody to lock her down. I hope he found out before she said that to everybody.
I would think that she told him, though. Like, come on, girl. You can't. be letting B2K run a whole train on you, and then you marry somebody and you don't tell them that you let B2K run a train on you. Okay, girl.
Before you tell America.
Okay, you better let your husband know. First of all, your husband, anybody you about to marry, got to know about all the hoest of the hoest days. There's none of that stuff you just don't tell. Like, you got to understand, like, y'all are going into a marriage. So it's like, you got to just really put it all out there. It's going to come that moment where it's like, y'all really going to be like, so I know everything about you. And then you're going to be like, you know what? All right, so one time, you got to just put it out there, okay? Because that's what love is about. Listen. So I would think that her husband knows that she let B2K get hot all the
time. Got the ladies jumping and get the party. Jumping in it.
B2K is hot. All right. So on to our piss poor performance. So I'm taking a break this week from the piss poor performance because literally no one is pissing me off more than the Green Eye Bandits. And I'm tired of dragging them week after week. I've dragged like three times already.
Listen.
So
and
I'm
they deserve every single drag.
They do. They do. They pissed me off this last episode too. I'm just, even when Mia was trying to apologize, Mia and Wendy was having a little moment. But at one point, Mia said something as Wendy being insecure. And Wendy was just like, insecure about what? And here comes Robin. Let her talk. Let them talk. They are having the conversation. See your ass up out of it. Like, you're just so ready to bully and attack somebody, especially Wendy. And we are watching this whole season and trying to figure out why, and other than you're mad and you just want to stay mad at this girl, especially seeing that moment. Here I go dragging their ass again. But especially seeing that moment with Wendy.
You can't help it. They deserve it.
I can't help it. But with that moment with Wendy and Mia, you see how forgiving Wendy is. Wendy is too forgiving. More forgiving than my ass. I'd have paid all you bitches dust. But Wendy really like held Mia's hand to let her know, like, girl, it's okay. I see you. We're going to talk later. And then we saw them talk later. We saw Wendy try to have a moment with Robin to squash the beef. But Robin, you just want to stay mad with your funky ass. And Giselle over there with your diarrhea eating bread out your purse ass. Y'all are just angry. Anyway, shout out to Robin, though, because her and Juan got married.
Yeah.
That was the breaking news. So there we go. We'll see it at the season finale.
Now they don't have a storyline. So I'm really hoping they don't come back next season. And I just like my jaw dropped when Giselle said Wendy is jealous of Mia. Why?
Why?
Of what? Her husband was not married when she got him. They're each other's first. Mm. All three of her kids are by her husband. She has four doctorates. She has jobs. She has what would make Wendy wake up and say, I want to be, because she light skin? Like what? Like what? And the fact that Giselle would even perpetuate that is like, ugh.
Right.
My piss poor performance is like, I'm recognizing that as we have this podcast best friend, sometimes I'm going to have to eat my words because Ashley has to get my piss poor performance. And like episode one, she got my yes. But like, girl, mind your business.
In which part?
Your business. Okay. Mind it. You are the wrong person to be out here talking crap because your background and your baby daddy has made it very hard for you to do that. You didn't even give Karen 10 minutes to walk away. You couldn't hold it. Well, Karen just told me something, but I can't tell you who.
Right.
But you're going to guess and you're going to tell me. And then Robin, I got you alone. So I did want to tell you, shut up. Karen was going to do it anyway because Karen felt what she felt and Karen was going to say it anyway. But it's like, Ashley,
yes,
you got to shut up. And this is why I agree with Candace. Like, you don't allow people to forgive you. Because if I'm going to forgive you, we got to start fresh. Shut up.
Yep.
Just shut up. Shut up.
Yeah.
Oftentimes
I wonder, like, just even Ashley's whole energy about it. I'm wondering if it's like, to her, it's like, it's just for the show. But it's like, girl, this is still real life. This is still people's real lives, real marriages, real relationships. And you're just look so happy. You came. This was back. Remember the one when it was, this was when she was still breastfeeding baby Dean. She came with her breast milk. Remember Candace?
All the way to the trip to tell Wendy some shit.
Right. With your breast milk. to tell, just to be the bone collector. It's just like Ashley is willing to do whatever, put breastfeeding her baby on hold just to come tell somebody something that someone else told her in confidence. And she does it all the time, every season. It is now who she's known to be. And I, again, I can't fault her for that. I am always for the best of the show because I love the drama. So I am here for Ashley.
Yeah, but she's going to drop that egg once. It was the double egg and then Robin calling Juan and Juan sounding like guilty Greg. I also want to give pissful performance to Ashley's hair braider because that big ass plait you put in the middle of her head was disgusting. You know sis needed a middle part. And I hope, Ashley, if you're listening, you never go back to that girl again because it seemed like she got lazy and gave you one. I tweeted about it. A big ass plait in the middle of her head. So piss poor performance to Ashley and her hair braider. Get somebody else to do it.
Wait, that is so funny. Especially because I remember our episode one when you tried to give her a yes and I couldn't even let you finish without dragging Ashley and Darby. But yeah, it's hard for me to ever, other than just rooting for her villain role on the show, it's hard for me. And just, I love her as a mother. She's amazing. She's
she is.
Her two boys are just so adorable. But and I love her family. Her mom is so cute. The brother, like, cause her family got, you know, you can tell they got common sense. But other than that, Ashley is a hot mess. She's a hot mess. So yeah. But was that your only piss for performance for this week?
Yeah, because she pissed me off. Damn it. I was rooting for you, Ashley. Goodness. I hate having to unroot for somebody because it just, like, she just could not wait. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Because it was going to come out regardless because Cameron was going to go. But, like, this girl could not wait. So, yeah, just pee all over Ashley. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Okay, Ashley got peed on. I want to piss on
Yes, I do.
Drip, drip, drip.
I do. It's on you. Drip, drip, drip.
All right. Now on to yes. People that we are rooting for on some of our favorite shows. I only have one. And I already shouted him out, but I am rooting for Jason Tyler, the Tyler sons on Love and Marriage DC, and him going out on his own and moving out and even just sharing his journey on reality television is such an inspiration. It's just even a good way to raise awareness. And so just even shout out to Jason and Tyler's overall. I'm really rooting for them. They've now become my favorite, even though I was thinking that Arena was boring in season one, but now just seeing, like, she just brings quality to the show, like quality storylines.
Yeah.
One that's trying to start drama, but at the same time, if you bring her way, she gonna handle it. So I'm here for them. I'm rooting for them. The Tylers, Love and Marriage DC.
Yeah. And I just always like to root for stories that are not like told. So that's like a very new story I haven't seen before.
Yes.
So yes to them. My shout out is also someone I spoke about earlier, but it's not real life. I'm giving a yes to Sean Murphy from The Good Doctor because I want him and Leah to really have this baby. And I'm just proud that him as an autistic husband is learning a different side of emotion and he's learning how to be there for his wife. And you could tell it's new for him. They had like an argument and he was really criticizing her about doing the dishes. And then he like let her do the dishes and he wrote her a sign like, you're doing everything right. I love you. So I just love like compromise and marriage, even though it's for TV, it's still real in my eyes. So yes to Sean Murphy.
Yes, Sean Murphy. And I did like that story you were describing with like, all of the stories, honestly, like it sounds like it's real in-depth storylines on that show that just tackle different areas of life so that people can relate to on different levels. So I'm here for that. All right, girl, you already know what time it is.
It's time for love, abundance.
And oh my God. Now, first of all, you already, we could just give a good 5 minutes to talk about Drag Race.
Oh, yeah. The recent episode. Let's do a quick Drag Race.
Of course. I had it just written down. That's our deep dive. That's been our deep dive week after week until we started having our guests.
Yes.
Girl, it was a double game of snatch game. Okay.
So I like that. I like that they did it early because the queens weren't prepared.
they were not prepared, and it gets out, it just weeds out the bad apples, which it got rid of one of the twins, which I was like, yeah, because that lip sync. But anyways, we're jumping around. The standouts of Snatch Game. Who were your standouts?
Of course, Tim Gunn, Marsha. Yes. She was amazing.
So funny.
I love the Joan Rivers. I thought she could have won. But Mistress Isabel Brooks, I love how she did Rosie O'Donnell, because it was on point, but it wasn't. But it was funny. And I like how they had the pick crew as the guests. I thought that was cute.
Yeah, I like that too.
Instead of famous people.
Mm-hmm. I really like that too. What about you? The same ones. Literally, I put Joan Rivers, Rosie O'Donnell, and Tim Gunn. And honestly, this is like the first time, because, you know, I've been thinking like, okay, so who's my top five? But just even after seeing the Snatch Game and the fashion portion, the catwalk, honestly, Mistress and even Malaysia, Baby Girl Fox, those two to me are like, I'm like, their drag is really good. They have the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. So far, you know, we're only up to episode 4, but those two are standing out to me, Mistress and Malaysia. Now, let's talk about the worst in Snatch Game.
Okay, this is controversial, but I thought Aura Mayari was worse than one of the twins. I think the twins, because they kept going back and forth, but I would have put Aura, I would have all three of them lip sync, because Aura was horrible.
No,
Brett is like so easy.
You're my mother. I'm your bitch.
I got that song for you, Rue. I was like, I thought she was automatic, but I thought maybe, but then Miley was a little crazy. And I didn't know that Trisha girl that the other twin was. So Trisha, I didn't know.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know who that is. But Aura Mayari was,
Bretman Rock was literally the worst. Like, that's hands down like the worst. It was so bad. I was busted out laughing all throughout it, because she was so bad. But
I thought that S Titties was gonna be in the bottom.
Yes, Virgin Mary. Oh my
God. That was not funny to me. She just screamed.
Then when she like did the delivery, like, I'm like, this is, it's so bad. But what it was is that if the twins are just, they're not that good, and then they would just depend on each other too much. So then when they did that little banter during Snatch Game, Rue was just like, okay, no. And then what they're coming out with the runway, I think was still saved. Ayara Mayari, I'm sorry, you know the name, child. their runway is still... way, it's like the twins were just feeding off of each other all the time. I'm sugar, I'm spice. This is what she wore, this is what I wore. And then you see, even in that lip sync, it could have been a double save if they would have both came and served it. You know, Rue is known for that. But the fact that they put together, it was so sloppy. Sugar was even sloppier. I really was saying that from the beginning, where, because you know, their little TikTok fan base is like, they ate. I'm like, where? They're taking on this aesthetic of like, we're like ditzy blonde girls, but you still have to lip sync. You still have to perform. You're doing this little dumb run like, I'm drunk and cute and dumb. No, it's not. And you're over here busting your ass. And you know Rue doesn't like stuff like that. Like when you're just not polished. No. And that's what we saw.
But I could see from the... preview for next week, I'll be surprised if Spice makes it more than 2 weeks without Sugar, because they're very codependent. And I think Mistress was like, she's spiraling. It's going to be hard for her to succeed without her twin. So I would be surprised if she makes it to week like 7. If she makes it more than 2 weeks past Sugar going home, I would be very surprised, because it takes a different type of person to be like, I'm gonna do this for you, as opposed to like, oh, she's not here, so I don't want to be here. So
right,
I don't know, Bestie. We'll see next week.
We'll see. It's heating up. So now to our positivity. What you got?
Namaste. You're stronger and more capable than you think.
Straight to the point, baby.
Don't forget, y'all.
Yes, mine is never regret a day in your life. Good days give happiness, bad days give experience, worst days give lessons, and best days give memories. Yes, and on
that's
that
such a good way.
to end the podcast.
Yes, after we done talk shit about everybody and their mama. Because we are balanced. Okay? Balanced.
You have to live a life of balance, guys.
And on that note, today our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and bundles. I wrote it down, y'all.
Yes.
I really had to write it on a sticky note.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm so happy you got it. Okay, y'all. We'll be back next week or the week after. You know, we'll be back.
We're going to be back when we be back.
We're going to be back when we be back. But y'all stay tuned. Bye.
Bye.